Hey there, everybody. Welcome in. It is time for three guys before the game. Actually, it's four guys before the game. Yeah, we're doing it again. This is episode number 75 of Three Guys Before the Game. And for just the second time in this program's history, we've added a fourth guy. Kercheval, that would be Hoppy, continues to be on vacation. And so he plays such a valuable role, you need two, really, to take up for one with Kercheval. And so please welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, former Mountaineers, Nathan Adrian. You know him. He's been on before. But we've got a special celebrity guest, the one, the only, the young man from Mount Vernon, New York, one of the all-time great Mountaineers, Kevin Jones, joins us on the program. Kevin, thanks so much for coming with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, man. It is our pleasure. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if you're, for those of you that are watching the podcast, the senator is in. I like that sweater. Very nice.
Want to make sure it showed up on camera.
Very, very minty.
Because I'm down here in the corner. I'm close to being outside. I'm about 6 inches from being outside the door here.
No, but it's good. Is that a fine-looking fill?
Yeah, of course it is. Fine-looking fill from
Daniel's Menswear. Our program, by the way, today is being brought to us by my West Virginia children's book. We have gotten unbelievable success off of our buy two and get one free promotion. So two, you buy two, you get one free personally autographed, and we're doing that at TonyCaridi.com. And KJ, as a special gift to you for coming in, you get a West Virginia children's book. Where could we go? Traveling West Virginia, high or low?
You haven't even given me one.
I haven't?
No.
Okay, both you knuckleheads are going to get books. It'll say to KJ, it's a great day to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be. Best wishes. And same thing for you.
Maybe you should not personalize it to KJ in case he'd like to re-gift it as a gift to a youngster in his life.
Yeah.
That might be better for him.
Well, I don't re-gift.
I get
something that's mine. I'm not giving them.
That's right. He doesn't. Thank you.
No re-gifting.
Thank you very much. So, KJ, let's bring folks up to date with what you're doing basketball-wise, and then we'll talk about this current edition of the Mountaineers. This is an important time for you. You've had a heck of a run here professionally, and now a lot of people may not know this. This holiday time of the season, this change of year, is a huge part of the season in international basketball because teams make a lot of moves. So you're here today, but you could be packed and gone really quick.
Yeah, the overseas schedule is crazy. Like you can, like you said, I can get a call tonight and have to go in the next 2 days, go somewhere and play. But it's a part of the game. It's my job, so I love it. Just been all around the world right now. Just trying to find a place to play. Been working out at the practice facility and just trying to stay ready.
Do you have any feel like before those calls come, like is your agent saying, hey, KJ, it could be here, it could be there. So do you have a sense right now of some possibles?
Yeah, I have some possible things coming up, but I don't like to, you know, I don't want to say anything until there's a contract in place.
Absolutely.
So until there's a contract in place, there's nothing going on.
I understand. That's totally good. Where's the most enjoyable place you've played so far?
I like Spain a lot. I really enjoy Spain. I love the culture, the people there. Not to say that the other places I've played weren't great, but Spain stood out the most.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's good. And you've had a heck of a run there. Man, it's been fun to watch because I look at your career and you've done these levels of development and improvement. I was just looking at your numbers. You came in here as a freshman and you averaged 6 points. And then by the time you were done, you closed things off at 19. How about that, Senator? Think like work, you get better. He goes from 6 to 14. He went 6, 13, 13, basically 20, 19.9. I'm giving you 20. So I want to get into that because there's a lot of young guys on this team. And Nathan as well has been trying to kind of wave his arm into those guys and saying, you guys, there's a different level of practice and work that you got to put into this besides when you go out on the court.
Yeah, for sure. For me, always been a hard worker, always like to improve each year. It was even like that during my high school career, just go up in levels each year. And you think you're working hard until you get here and you play under Coach Huggins. I'm sure Nate could tell you, you're not working as hard as you know you can work. So it's just different levels, and I'm sure the younger guys will learn as they get older how much harder you need to work to be successful at this level.
You know, he improved so much over that time that he should have been Big East Player of the Year. Got screwed. Got absolutely screwed.
Don't bring that up.
Oh, here we go.
Got screwed. One of the all-time great screw jobs in award history. Should have been Big East Player of the Year. Jay Crowder got it. How often do you think about that, less or more than two times a year?
Well, I didn't think about it at all until you just brought it up. So thanks for opening old wounds. I'm just kidding.
It still bugs me. It's got to bug you.
It doesn't bug me as much as people would think. Of course, it bugged me at first because, you know, I felt I deserve it. I think it was two other players in Big East history that's done that, and they all won Big East Player of the Year. So it's like, how can that not be the case? But, you know, I've learned to accept it over the years. It is what it is, and just move forward from it. But I'm glad everybody appreciated my work here.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. By the way, KJ... one of the things I do want to bring up, he also has his own podcast with former Mountaineers John Flowers and Deshaun Butler, and it's called The Final Forecast. And those guys, I'm not missing anybody else, am I? Just you three?
And we have our co-host Ashley.
Okay, very good. That's fine.
She's a big part of it.
Okay, Ashley, there you go. Give a shout out to Ashley. So Final Forecast, and even though those guys are overseas right now, you're still doing one show a week pretty much.
Yes.
Okay, good. So check it out. If you haven't checked out Final Forecast, it's a little more, can I say, let me try to think here. Like, ours is for all ages. Yours is a little bit more of a mature audience.
Yeah, I would say more mature audience. And I would say that one thing we didn't want to do, we didn't want to just talk about sports. We wanted to touch on different topics.
Right.
Some topics that may be, you know, people don't think that we, you know, conversate about,
but right.
we talk about, it's just pretty much locker room talk
outside of the locker room. Absolutely.
Which can be, it can go left a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
Nate, have you ever been invited?
I haven't actually.
Excuse me?
No invites.
Oh.
We were getting to Nate's door, trust me.
Yeah, we were going to get this. So how many episodes have you done?
Wow, we are on... I don't want to get this wrong.
But
I
want to
say around 17, 18.
About 17, 18. And he has not made the 17 or 18 cut yet.
I'm in the 20s on the list.
Nate is big time. He's doing TV now. He's doing, you know, he's doing a lot of stuff. He has a busy schedule. So
yeah.
So
boy. Hey, Nate. Down you go, buddy.
I know.
Down you go. All right. So we're going to, like I said, I want to bounce around with you, but I want to get your first take here. Just, you can go ahead and get right into that. Yeah. When you watch this Mountaineer team this year, what's running through your head?
Young. Sometimes it looks like they're not playing hard. I don't want to accuse them of not playing hard, because I'm sure you're Coach Huggins' coach team. You're going to play hard, but I don't think they understand how hard they need to play, like I said, to be successful at this level yet. And it just seems like some guys kind of are floating around, don't really know their role on the team. Mm-hmm. And I think some of them think that scoring has to be a way for them to affect the game, which is tons of different ways to affect the game without scoring. So
yeah.
I think that becomes the problem that I've seen most of all.
That's a good point. So Nate, both you guys, even though you scored at 20 a game in your senior year, KJ, it seemed to me that both of you guys, though, accepted roles that didn't necessarily have to be scoring. Now, you did in your senior year, but you were always defense and rebounding. And KJ, I mean, your rebounding numbers right from the beginning, you average 5 as a freshman, then you go 7, 8, and 11. So you knew your bread was rebounding. And then the scoring came secondary?
Yeah. I wouldn't say the scoring came secondary. I always loved to score, but, you know, as a big man, it's hard. You don't really control the ball. You get the ball from the guard. So I figured my way of scoring and impacting the game was rebounding, especially on the offensive end. And I found myself getting 6 or 8 easy points just off of offensive rebounds. I'm like, this is my way of scoring and impacting the game, you know, without always necessarily having the ball.
Yeah. Roles that people play. Senator, now you were a big scorer back in your day.
Well, I didn't rebound, so I just only had to score. I was a heck of a distributor, too, back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, back in the day. KJ, what do you think? Because we've asked Nate this question before, too. You mentioned how young this particular version of the Mountaineers is. What's the biggest adjustment when you're coming to from high school to college, but not just speed of the game, the scouting reports, the film work, the coaching style from Bob Huggins? What's the hardest part to adapt to high school to college?
Well, for me, I think it was more off the court than anything because, you know, basketball, it comes second nature to us. It's something that we've been doing all our lives. But it's the having to go to class. It's the study hall. It's the weightlifting. It's, you know, paying attention in the film session. And it's all that, you know, your the mental aspect of everything that really is kind of hard and stuff that you don't think is important until you get older and realize how important it is, especially at Division I level.
Mm-hmm. What were his stats? Say his, what, read his first year stats again.
In your first season, you played 19 minutes a game. You shot 50% from the field, 21% from three. You shot very poorly at the foul line, 57%, which you took to 78 by the time you were a senior. You averaged 5 boards per game. You had 170 rebounds. 66 of those were on the offensive glass. So he's all, I mean, he's in the 40% of those were offensive rebounds. He had 22 assists, 18 turnovers, blocked 23 shots, had 21 steals, and he averaged 6 points per game.
So 6 points, 5 rebounds a game for one of the guys that left here as one of the all-time great players. So I think that's what people forget. Yeah. We see all these newcomers and these freshmen, and you think, oh, they're just going to step in and replace Dax and JC. Even the great ones were not scoring 15 a game or rebounding at 10 a game when you arrived, right? That's the hard part, I think, for fans to get their mind around.
Exactly. It doesn't work like that. It's an adjustment coming. And even the really, really, you know, top 10 players coming into college, it's an adjustment for them as well. You're playing against, you know, grown men who've been here, 20, 21, who've been here, who have a certain level of strength, certain level of speed that you haven't played against before. So it's always an adjustment. But I think the more you work, and the more you pay attention to detail outside of the court, I think the better you'll get with time.
I want to bring Nate in on this because you guys, among hard workers, are right at the top of the class. And this is something that you can't touch, so it's an intangible. But Nate, define to me what hard work, what your definition of hard work is. Because I think it's more than just play hard. I mean, hard, you can't touch hard. What's it like on a day-to-day basis? What makes someone a hard worker compared to someone that isn't at that level?
Well, I think this is actually a very common misconception, is that if somebody's in the gym all day, every day, people think that he's working hard, but in all reality, he could just be in there screwing off and not actually improving on his game. So I think it is working on your game to a certain point, but doing it in a right way. Everything in basketball is all muscle memory. So if you're on the court shooting a ball wrong or doing something wrong that your coaches don't want to do, then it's going to go bad. It's the same as when you're golfing. If you're swinging a golf club wrong over and over and over and over, you're going to create habits that are going to be much harder to break in the long run. So in reality, it's better to have someone teach you how to do it better and then repeat that instead of doing it your own way.
Mm-hmm. I want to get your guys' take on toughness. Because obviously Huggs' teams are characterized by their toughness. KJ, to you, what is toughness?
I think toughness is being able to have the discipline to do the right things over and over again. Like, you know, constantly I was told to get opposite of where the ball is shot. And I think that has a lot to do with me rebounding so well throughout my career. And that's a discipline to teach yourself every time the shot is going up to get to opposite side of the basketball. And I think that's a part of toughness is like I said before, the mental aspect as well. You know, not having to be told to do this, make the same mistake twice. You know what I mean? You let your man go middle one time, that doesn't happen again. You know, just listening to the coaches, I think that goes along with being tough. I don't think it's necessarily has to do with muscle or strength or anything like that. I think it's more mental than anything.
All right, both of you answer this. Can you teach toughness, or are you tough or not tough?
Good question.
Nate, go ahead.
No, you can't teach it. But at the same time, you're not just necessarily tough or not tough. It's a decision that you have to make for yourself on certain situations, whether or not you're going to let certain things define how you're going to play. Now being physically tough, I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer.
Wait a second, though. This is good. I want you to give your take, because you left as like a definition of hard-nosed, blue-collar mountaineer. But when I watched you in high school, I mean,
Time out.
No, I'm fine.
You watched me in high school. You say that I wasn't tough in high school. I was soft in high school, but that was because I was 180 pounds. It had nothing to do with me wanting to necessarily play through things. I mean, I played an entire week and a half with a bone in my foot and a half.
Yeah.
I'm saying this.
I don't mean, I want you to take this the right way. In high school, you were much more comfortable of staying out and taking jumpers rather than going in there and just like knocking people around. And so my question to you is that something that you learn that you don't realize that you can play that way because you just don't know?
It's something that you learn that you don't know what your body can handle until you push it to the limits. And that's something Andy Kettler taught all of us. He would push you to the point where you thought you had to stop and then make you go four times past that. And he would prove to you that you can do more than you think. And I think that was one of the greater things that he ever taught me was you can push yourself past what you actually think you can.
KJ?
I would agree. I think here, you know, it's survival of the fittest. Like, they'll push you, whether it's on the court, whether it's in the weight room, they're going to push you to be the best you can be. And some people can handle it, some people can't. And I tell people, you know, I don't want it to be like an indictment toward Coach Hugs, but I'm like, some people can play for Hugs and some people can't, like, you know what I mean? And like, when I say that, I mean that you have to be really mentally tough to play here and to play for Coach Hugs, because he's going to ask for your 100% each day where you might not have it or you think you don't have it. So you got to push yourself beyond that each day. And I think once you get past that point and you know you can do it, it makes you a totally better player.
So I think both of you guys, so you're raised in Mount Vernon, which is this unbelievable basketball community and tradition. So you saw other guys and what they did. And Nate, I think just the way your dad raised you, that made you tough. Right? Fair statement. So you guys had that seed already in you before you got here. And so I think that if you didn't, maybe you would think what you were being asked to do would be totally like, there's no way I can do that. Right? And that's probably when people fall off.
I got to figure out how to say this. Most of Coach Hugg's most successful players are people that have had rough childhoods or from bad places, have struggled in some type of way. Because they come in and Coach Hugs gets on them and they respond well to that. People that have had a lot of things handed to them in life come in and think that they know better or can do it in a better way, and that's when they're going to struggle. And I think that's part of what KJ is talking about, is you either can play for Hugs or you can't. I don't know how else to say
it. No, you said it well.
Yeah.
No, you said it well. I think that's, there's even a bigger thing out of that is that nowadays more so than ever when things get tough, people, they cut out and they just say, I'm out.
How different is it? Both of you can answer this too. How different is it though, from watching his style of coaching on TV? Cause it's pretty clear how he coaches. You can turn on a game and watch. How different is it watching it on TV as a recruit versus it happens the first time in practice or a game when he's up on you and he's really screaming at you? What's the biggest challenge there?
It's a different type of intensity, you know. Me and Truck went to a basketball game. I want to say they played in New Jersey. They played against Tennessee. They lost against Tennessee.
Oh, yeah,
and we came in for the after the game speech. And yeah, it was not good.
Oh, he was
not polite at all. So to see that, we're like, yeah, this is going to be a different experience. And then to actually be in it when we lost a tough game or we lost a game we felt we shouldn't lose, it's definitely from a different perspective. But you realize the longer you play with Hugs is that it's coming from a good place and it's only to get you better, you know? So I think you have to take not so much how he says the message, but try and take the message away from it of what he's telling you. And it's hard. Like when somebody's screaming at you, you know, saying different type of names to you, it's tough, but you got to look past that and actually see what he's trying to tell you.
Yeah. He's still mad about losing that game to Tennessee. I remember that. I mean, he was absolutely livid, thought there's no reason that they should have lost that game.
Yeah,
absolutely remember that. He's amazing. I mean, he does it. He does it, and I think that when Hugs is done, whenever that might be, I don't think guys are going to coach that way anymore.
No.
Because he was raised at a different time in a different generation. He learned from his dad. Guys aren't like, they don't get that anymore.
Can you guys tell fairly soon who has a shot to make it and who can't? I mean, in the first couple months of a season, can you look and say, all right, this guy's not going to be here long. He's not handling this well.
Uh-oh. KJ's got a smile going. What do we got?
It's tough. You can...
The answer is yes, right?
Yeah, the answer is yes, but yeah. Sometimes you don't get it 100% right because there were, I don't want to name any guys, but
go ahead, name some names.
No hot takes, but there were one or two guys that I'm like, I don't think he's going to make it, and he ended up doing well. So you, 90% of the time, you can guess who won't be here for long, I would say.
Nate? You could tell?
I've been pretty right so far.
Does some of that... All right, so here's another little difference, though. Is some of that now, Nate, with the style of play, does that factor into it, or it's all mental, in your opinion?
No, I think that's a cop-out because, I mean, you look at me, I'm not exactly a pressing...
Well, you're a gazelle.
Build. Oh, come on now.
You're a gazelle.
Let's call it what it is. I got a 6'4 wingspan. I'm not the fastest human being out there. There's no reason that I should have been successful pressing, but I made the most out of the situation I was in, and it worked out for me, so I'm not complaining.
You know, going
so
back,
you don't think it's X and O related. You think it's 100% what's in you and able to respond to the type of coaching that goes.
Yeah.
You said something, KJ, that I think kind of tells the whole answer. You said toughness is mental toughness. They told me to go to the other side, the offside where the ball's not coming from, to go get rebounds. And I think the easy way out is if you're getting screened or if you're getting blocked in the middle of the lane, you go like, I'll just let this one go by, right? So that's what you're talking about being toughness.
Exactly. Just having that discipline to do the same thing over and over and over again, even though it may be hard. And, you know, just not taking the easy way out because they see everything. Like, there might have been one or two times where I thought I was taking the easy way out. I'm like, oh, no, this guy is blocking me. We don't care. If he's blocking you out, find a way to get it done. And I just had that in my mind. Just find a way to get it done no matter how you go about doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's something that takes a long time to get ingrained in your head that you have to do it every single time. And I think that's, again, something people, when they come in, they're young, they don't understand. When me and Kev practiced with them last year, we were on the same team. Me and Kev were opposite every single time, and we got every single offensive rebound. And they're like, what do we do about that? And to us, we're like, well, that's why you get opposite. So you get all these rebounds.
Yeah.
And they just don't quite understand that.
Yeah.
Because it takes a while.
So when you watch this team so far, KJ, do you think in time pieces will come together?
Yeah, it always takes time. I mean, you got a lot of fairly new guys and a lot of guys being pushed into different roles because of, you know, Javon and Dax leaving. So it's just a lot of unfamiliar territory for everybody. So I think they'll settle in eventually, hopefully, and you'll start seeing some better basketball as the season goes on.
Who do you like on this team, either you or Nate? Like, who's your guy that you look at and go, I like that guy?
Returning or just in general?
Anybody. Anybody on the team that you like.
I really like Sags, man. He's a game changer.
He couldn't block your shot.
He has blocked my shot when I was practicing. Nate's blocked my shot. It's not that hard. But Sags is really good, man. When he's on his game, he's a game changer. Nobody can block shots that I've seen like he can and impact the game.
Anywhere you've gone in the world.
And I'm talking about professionally at any point. The stuff he can do is crazy, especially for his size. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but his athleticism and timing is ridiculous.
So you've been through the whole process. Obviously he's got concerns about him, his development as far as the NBA goes. What would you tell him? What have you told him?
I kind of look at it like
professional.
Sorry about that, Nate.
I don't want to interrupt you.
It was my alarm going off on my phone. It said, buy Nate a Christmas present. But that's all right. We're right.
We got some bread or something. It's time to take the bread out of the oven.
Forget it. Go ahead.
Talking about Sags. Yeah, I would tell him, it kind of reminds me of my junior year when I was testing the waters to go into the NBA, and I thought that, you know, expanding my game, taking three-point shots, you know, shooting a little bit more off the dribble was something I needed to do. And it wasn't until the point where I got back to being what got me there that I started playing better. And I would just say the same thing to him, just get back to what got you to this point, you know, blocking shots, impacting the game on both ends, getting down on the block. And, you know, nobody says he can expand his game, but when it's becoming a detriment to the team, which I feel like sometimes it has been, I feel like you kind of need to scale back a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
Because I would think the biggest thing that NBA people want or professional people want, they want to see him play the way that he did against Pitt, just at an absolutely frenzied level of emotion. That's what they want, right? That's the spark that they're looking for.
Exactly, exactly. And when he gets to that next level, whenever it may be, then, you know, he can do more to expand his game. But I feel like right now, you know, don't stop doing what got you there while expanding your game as well.
Yeah, yeah. What about you over there?
Me?
Who's your favorite new guy? Or who do you like right now? And you can't say Chase Harler, because, I mean, you guys might as well.
My guy.
You guys might as well, I mean, just like be whatever.
No, I think Jermaine Haley has the best chance to be good. He still has a lot of stuff to figure out, but he's a big guard and he knows how to use his body well. So if he can improve on that and become a better ball handler and passer, then I think he can go a lot of places.
Yeah, but interesting. Interesting take. Boy, he's got – you don't see 6'7 bringing the ball up, do you?
If he can. Well, nowadays, kind of. It's kind of more common. But, yeah, it's definitely – once he – I feel like he gets – I don't know if he's getting scared to shoot or maybe too unselfish, but I feel like he needs to make himself more of a presence.
Yeah.
It's all offensive end.
Mm-hmm. It's all there for him. I agree with
you.
I mean, it's all there for him.
KJ, go back to what you said a second ago about reeling yourself back in. Was that just something you did? Coaches talked to you? How did you get that light bulb to go off to say, all right, I got to put that stuff on the shelf right now. I got to go play.
It was a mix of both. You know, just had to do some self-evaluating. I wasn't playing as well as I wanted to. And, you know, the coaches were, you know, on me like, where's this guy at? Where is the guy that, you know, we know and love? And I had to just sit back and reflect on myself. And it's hard because you feel like you're trying to do the right thing for yourself, but you're not realizing how much it's hurting the team. So it was tough, but I'm glad I did it because I started playing better. And as a team, I felt like we started playing better.
Yeah, now that you bring that up, I do remember that. You kind of went out a little bit outside trying to show people you could shoot the jumper from distance, mm-hmm. and it did take you away from the basket. Then you got cranked up. Yeah, absolutely. Boy. I don't know about you. This felt good. Feel good for you over there, Senator?
That's great. We can do this all day.
This is kind of like sitting down with Dr. Phil. I mean, just trying to like pull the pieces together. Hey, as far as international ball goes, what do you think American basketball fans would be most surprised about when you play internationally, in regard to style of play, in regard to the differences of the game?
I think. When I compare international to American basketball, I compare it more to like college. I would say Big East style basketball, very physical, very rough. The crowds are great. I remember when I was playing in Serbia, Belgrade, for a team named Partizan, and we had a rival in the same area named Red Star, and these rival games were crazy. People throwing chairs at each other, smoke bombs going off in the arena, people throwing firecrackers on the court. Like, this is, and you have to play in these conditions. Like, there was one time somebody was shooting a free throw and a firecracker came on the court and just popped right next to me. And I turn around, I'm like, are we still playing this game right now? Stuff that you would never think about, but sometimes these are the kind of conditions. But once you get used to that, you like playing in these environments because it reminds you of college and all those days you would play your rivals and everybody would be pumped up for the game. So I think I would compare it more to college than anything.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Have you ever played in a place where they had to have screens up so the fans can't throw stuff?
Yeah, that was at our games.
Is that right?
Stuff like that. Because people were throwing quarters, firecrackers, sometimes seats.
We need to get that.
Backyard brawl is nothing.
Yeah, we need to get that assistant over there. We need to get that assistant over there from Pitt, right? Yeah. And just say, hey, you got hit in the face with a coin. Nothing.
Play through.
Play through. That's just another day at the office right there. Yeah, that's different. Okay, before we close up, what's the newest great food that you found overseas that you had never eaten before, and now when you get it, you go like, holy heck, where have you been all my life?
That's tough because I'm a picky eater, so I don't really.
You're still a picky eater.
So you like flowers? What? Flowers said he's over there in France. He wouldn't eat anything but McDonald's.
What are you 7
exactly.
years old?
That's what you pull that too.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. I like Thai food a lot. So there's some really good. I mean, Thai food places and the different places that I've played in. I'm not big at branching out, so I couldn't tell you.
Jeez. There's a whole new world out there.
I'm a McDonald's guy.
Hey, any young kids out in Mount Vernon that could become Mountaineers? I mean, you got any like 6th, 7th graders, 8th graders that you're hearing about? I mean, you're a stud. You know, kind of help them, steer them this way. You hearing anything?
Man, honestly, I haven't really.
Well, you're like a hero up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you the McCrays, right? Yeah, I mean, right?
I don't go back as much as I should. And so I can't tell you too much about the talent out there, but I'm sure Coach Cimino down there, he cranks them out each year. There's somebody. So I'm sure there's somebody on their radar that they'll ask me about or tell me about. So there's always something.
You know what else you could do when you're overseas? I mean, you could get one of them foreign guys to come over here. Huh? Like a young kid that you see out there in the gym, right? I mean,
everybody else is doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, well, heck, Sags. I mean, it's not like he's from Star City. I mean, right? I mean, Oscar's coming in. Exactly. Have you seen Oscar yet?
Actually, yeah, I've seen him. He's going to be pretty good. I'm still not sure. I haven't really seen much of his game, but just from a body standpoint.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal.
And athleticism standpoint, yeah, he.
Kind of like Nate.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was
going to say. Stud. Yeah. All right. Senator, do you have anything before we close shop?
Yeah, because we've gone this whole time and haven't even talked about Final Four at all. How do we not get a Final Four question in?
Mm. Oh, boy.
All right, give it here. I'll give you one. I'll give you a hard one to answer. The one moment that stands out from that season, that run, would be what? When you hear Final Four, you think of what? What image pops in your head? Could be on court, could be off the court. What do you think of?
John Flowers doing the John Wall dance after the game was over.
Just
like, and just how nobody, you know, only the state of West Virginia had us winning the game, and how like improbable it was, and how we were supposed to get, you know, smacked the game. And I think it was just extra motivation for us to, you know, go out there and just show how good of a team we were.
When you played that game, let's break that down. You're going to take me down a hole here. This is good because I never asked you about this. So obviously they've got all the hype and the whole thing. What were you guys? Because you guys were street guys, city guys. You no one scared you. Mm-hmm. What was? And I'm sure Day was the ringleader in what he was saying. What were you guys saying about those guys?
But remember, because it's not like you guys were a 13 seed.
Exactly.
I mean, right? You're two seed. Some people thought should have been a 1 seed in that tournament. So
right.
That was
just
they
won
were
the Big
ultra
East.
Heavyweights, but West Virginia was right in that mix.
Exactly, and just that's exactly our point. That we're just as good as anybody else in the country, and also that they're young. They're most of their players that they rely on are freshmen. You know, we had two great senior leaders, Deshaun and Wellington, and we had a lot of guys that's coming back. Me, Truck, and Devin were sophomores at this point, so we had a year under our belt to learn. And these guys are, you know, even though they're talented, they haven't really been in this position before. So that's what we were thinking. We get a close game and we get a rugged game. That, you know, that's in our favor.
And it was a bizarre game with those 3-point shots in the first half, wasn't it?
We did not plan that. We did not plan that.
I can still remember you stroking one from the far corner, just like, and they just kind of hit you like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was to the point that we were scared to go inside the 3-point line. We just wanted to shoot from the outside because it was working. And then once Joe Mazzulla got it going, it was just like, we couldn't be stopped at that point.
Yeah, name most outstanding player there. What are your recollections of the Kentucky players during the game as far as what they were saying, as far as anything stand out trash-talking-wise or anything like that?
It was nothing really towards us. It was towards their own players, like, what are we doing? Like, them cursing each other out. Like, this shouldn't be happening. Like, we should be blowing them out. So it was a lot of talking between them, and we're seeing this. We was like, yeah, we got them right where we want them. You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of game we wanted to get with them in. So it worked out in our favor at a lot of different points.
That's the freshman aspect of a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Joe Mazzulla was all up in Boogie Cousins' head. He had no idea what was happening.
You've seen that picture of him just putting his butt down on Boogie's shins.
Oh, yeah. And Joe is crazy. So Joe is like, he's probably looking at Joe like Joe is
8 inches shorter than him, like 50 pounds less than him. He's looking at Joe like.
That's exactly how
like,
he was looking.
Yeah, just like the way he's going on. Like, yeah, he was totally out
there's
his game.
A picture. There's a picture of Cousins like looking down at Joe like, what like, in what the heck are you doing?
They haven't
Who are
seen,
you?
They haven't seen anything like that. And he did it so consistently that it got into his head like, okay, before it was like contact, I don't mind it. And then when it started getting to the second half, is like, all right, this is annoying now. Like, you know what I mean? Just like Joe's done to a lot of people.
I'm trying to remember. You remember the South Florida game when he had another big at South Florida? You remember that game? It was at South Florida. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and they had a big. Mm-hmm. And he just kept fronting the guy with his butt. Mm-hmm. And the guy, like, he just kept banging him with his butt. And the guy's going, what in the heck is this?
Like, yeah. After a while, it wears on you. As a big guy, somebody keeps on hitting you in your legs. especially Joe. Joe is strong. Joe's like a pit bull. Like, he keeps on hitting you in your legs. After a while, you're gonna feel it, no matter how strong you are.
Those are unbelievable memories, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable memories. All right. Kevin Jones has been with us. You can check out his podcast with John Flowers and Deshaun Butler. It's The Final Forecast, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are available. I appreciate you guys coming in. Nathan, appreciate you. By the way, Senator, I got to tell you this. So I went over to practice this week. It was Tuesday, and I didn't realize it was early, so the team was practicing. So I walked out onto the balcony there. And I'm looking down, and our boy's got his uniform on again. He's got his uniform on again. He's out there practicing, like, you know, player, coach, old man, and he's got his hat
That's
on.
That's my favorite revelation of the season
and
so
he's,
far.
And he's got his hat on backwards. He's got his baseball practicing.
With the uniform on.
Yeah, with the uniform on. He's got his baseball hat on backwards. He's walking out there with Hugs, like, yeah, just another day. It's another day, Hugs. We'll get these guys squared up and we'll win some ball games. The only thing you lacked was like a chew. Like if you just had a big chew in there, like, okay, well, Hugs, we're going to get these guys straightened out. I promise you that.
Nate gets it done. Don't let Nate fool you.
You talk about, you know, you never know what's coming for these guys post-playing career. Nathan's doing it great. You talk about having multiple balls in the air and doing 1,000 things. He's got
whatever
it
whatever I can.
Right? He's all dressed up. He's on ESPN. Then he comes and goes with us. Then he'll leave here. He'll go bang around at practice.
Yeah, and then he'll
get
sell,
on the phone, do calls.
He's selling insurance. He's trying to get hospitals to switch over to healthcare provider. I mean, what?
It's the best.
I mean, you're like the new. Yeah, that's the new employee.
That's how you do it,
right?
That's don't get how boxed you, into one thing. Do 1,000 things.
Yeah,
hey, including practice with the team.
Absolutely. Hey, KJ, we wish you the absolute very best when this new call comes in, and we follow. Even when you're far, far away, we follow and keep people updated as to how things are going, and we certainly wish you guys the best and appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
it. Once again, podcast today sponsored by KJ's, Nate's, and Brad's favorite children's book, and now available for you. Buy two, get one free. Go to TonyCaridi.com. Hit the music. Oh, there it is. We're out. Episode 75 of Three Guys Before the Game, a special visit by KJ and Nate. We're out. Thanks for being with us. Three Guys Before the Game. See ya. You can't.